We discussed in yesterday's share the question of davening at home without a mechitza. So seeing as we're on the topic of mechitzot, it's appropriate for us to give some consideration to the mechitza in shul, and in particular with regard to the construction of the mechitza, question of how thick it needs to be and how high it needs to be. And as we mentioned in yesterday's share, this is a topic which is really not discussed in Shas and Poskim. It was, I think, historically always taken for granted that there was a mechitza, and the mechitza was either a gallery, or that the women were in another room, or it was a very high wall or something like that. And I suspect that historically also there wasn't any demand either for removing the mechitza or for lowering the mechitza, that the women could see and feel that they were participating more in the service. But for a whole host of reasons, that has become concerns of the present and recent generations. So, as mentioned, the basis for the notion of a mechitza in a makom tefillah is the tikkun gadol, the fixture that they made in the Beit HaMikdash at the time of the Simchat Beit HaShoeva on Sukkot, the festival of the water rejoicing, where they erected a balcony for the women to be in. And that serves, for at least for a number of the poskim, as a starting point to try and work out what is required as far as the mechitza is concerned. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igrot Moshe has numerous tshuvot on this subject, but essentially his position is that the purpose of the tikkun gadol, and therefore the purpose of the mechitza, is to stop there being intermingling between the sexes in shul, so that the men shouldn't start talking to the women, and the women shouldn't start talking to the men, and that things shouldn't be passed over the mechitza from hand to hand, etc., etc. And seeing as that's the purpose, he says that provided the mechitza is shoulder height, then that's good enough. It doesn't matter that the men and women can see each other's faces over the mechitza, because it's not an easy environment in which to talk, and there's not going to be casual interaction between people on various sides of the mechitza. He says that therefore, lechatchila, ideally, the mechitza should be head high, and it should be constructed in such a way that the men can't see the women. Nevertheless, if that's not feasible for various local considerations, so then so long as it's shoulder high, which he says is Yudchet Tefachim, 18 handbreadths high, which he says is 60 inches or 152 centimetres, then that's acceptable, even though you can see over it. And he says, even though lechatchila it should be of a thick material, if it's somewhat transparent or translucent, that's fine. He says it's all right to have, if necessary, not ideal, but if necessary, you can have some sort of lattice work so you can see the shapes of the people through it, but you can't hold a conversation through it or anything like that. He says that would also be acceptable if necessary. On the other hand, the Hungarian rabbis, going back to the 19th century, and their a forceful stance about mechitzas, they issued a letter saying that mechitza has to be head high so that you can't see through it or see over it at all. It needs to be opaque. The purpose of the tikkun gadol in the Beit HaMikdash was so that the men couldn't see the women. A third position is that of Rav Henkin, Zichrono Livracha, I mentioned recently, passed away only 2 or 3 weeks ago in Yerushalayim, the author of Shelot Tshuvot B'nei Vanim, and in the very first Tshuva, Chelek Aleph, Simon Aleph, he discusses the question of the mechitza, and he makes the observation that besides acting as a separation between the men and the women, the mechitza, or the tikkun gadol in the Beit HaMikdash, also served as a chiluk rashut. It meant that the men and women were in different halachic domains. And he has a chumrah that that's a requirement of a mechitza as well. You can have a mechitza that is, you know, a velvet curtain that the men can't see the women and the women can't see the men. But if it's not secured firmly at the bottom, or if it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, and it's going to blow around, something like that, then it doesn't count as a a mechitza in other areas of halacha, and therefore it doesn't count as a mechitza as far as this is concerned as well. So Rav Henkin says, besides preventing the intermingling of the sexes, the mechitza also has to fulfill or conform to the general, the normal halachic requirements of a mechitza for Rashiyot. His grandfather, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, in his Piskei Halacha, he seemed to be a little bit more makel in terms of he regarded the ikkar consideration of the mechitza as being the chiluk rishuyot, something which gives halachic, establishes two different halachic domains where the men and the women are for tefillah. And he held that at least in cases of necessity, it was sufficient to have a mechitza that was only 10 tefachim high, which is a little bit more than a metre, around about a meter high, because that establishes different to Rashiyot, even though the men and the women can see each other. Should be noted that, of course, even according to those poskim who say that it's not a problem for the men and the women to see each other, it is working on the assumption that halachic dress codes and modes of dress are being adhered to. Adkan.